HEC Breakthroughs,
a knowledge at HEC podcast.
Hello and welcome to this exceptional podcast on a researcher who helped revolutionize stakeholder engagement and its impact on the world of business.
I'm Ed Freeman. I'm a professor at the University of Virginia's Darden School, where I teach business ethics and business strategy and leadership.
If we're going to make business better, if we're going to raise the level of people in societies, then we need something like stakeholder theory.
The first thing you need to do is to get involved. You need to think for yourself about your own purpose, those groups and individuals that you can affect, your stakeholders.
I think I'm the only libertarian that might look like Karl Marx, I don't know, but I do think we need a revolution. But it's not a revolution with guns and all that sort of stuff. It's a revolution about ideas.
I really think we can be the generation that makes business better. But we can only do that if we tell a new narrative.
Robert Edward Freeman and his many different dimensions in a trailer by HEC's Dana Meshed. It was made for a very special occasion at our business school. On March 4th, the American economist and philosopher received an honorary doctorate during a ceremony on the HEC campus. It was for his body of work on stakeholder theory and business ethics. This is the seventh honoris causa that Dr. Freeman has received, and the first in France, a country he's particularly close to, as we'll find out later. Ed flew in from the States to receive this award from the hands of HEC Dean of Faculty and Research Andrea Mazzini. He was in front of a packed auditorium and a few thousand online spectators. Andrea Mazzini.
It's my privilege and pleasure to stand before you today as we gather to recognize a visionary scholar. Edward has dedicated his career to exploring and advocating for a holistic approach to business, one that transcends the narrow boundaries of shareholder-centric models. Ed's seminal work on stakeholder theory has not only challenged traditional paradigms, but has also laid the foundation for a more inclusive, sustainable, and ethically conscious approach to corporate governance. Today, it is not only a honor for our school, but a deeply meaningful moment for me to stand alongside a colleague whose work has shaped the intellectual development of several generations of scholars. HEC Paris is proud to confer upon Edward Freeman a honorary degree. May it serve as a symbol of our deep appreciation and gratitude for your invaluable contributions to the world of academia.
Ed Freeman has also received honorary doctorates from major faculties in Canada, the Netherlands, Spain, and Finland, which begs the question that HEC professor Rodolphe Durand asked publicly.
Why so many honors? Mainly because you introduced to the world the stakeholder theory. More precisely, you published in 1984 a book, and the title of the book is not just stakeholder theory, it's Strategic Management, a Stakeholder Approach, in which, therefore, you trace the stakeholder idea, the origins of the stakeholder idea, to a number of other scholars, and suggested that business build their strategy around their relationship with key stakeholders. What is stakeholder theory? Well, stakeholder theory is a theory of organizational management and business ethics that addresses morals and values in managing an organization and, in particular, firms. At a time when capitalist economies are under fire, we thought it was natural to hear you about stakeholder theory and the next stage of capitalism.
And Ed Freeman proceeded to present his vision of stakeholder theory 40 years after he published his landmark book called Strategic Management. The day after, Ed was the keynote speaker at HEC's second Purpose Day workshop in central Paris, a place I'll be taking you in our next Breakthroughs podcast. In between the two, I caught up with the amenable and grizzled academic, whose passions also include rock music and karate. He's a second Dan black belt, by the way.
HEC Breakthroughs.
Ed, you're arguably the best known for the 1984 book Strategic Management, a Stakeholder Approach. And in it, you trace the origins of the stakeholder against the shareholder idea, if that's not too much of a simplification. Exactly 40 years later, the world has changed. How have those proposals evolved to accompany the evolutions of the last four decades?
Well, I had a chance to reread the book recently and to actually write a review of it. I found that While I might say some of the things differently today, most of the underlying principles I still believe in. And I think in a way the world has come around. Businesses today know that they have stakeholders. They know that they have to pay attention to customers, suppliers, employees, communities, and financiers, the people with money. And they may have to pay attention to others like government and NGOs and interest groups, but they certainly have to pay attention to those top five, I think. Businesses have always done this. The point of realizing that's what you're doing is to say, now I can improve it. It's a little bit like the character, I forget his name, in the Molière novel, who finds out he's speaking prose. Yeah. He doesn't have to learn a new language.
He's the bourgeois who wants to be an aristocrat in the bourgeois gentilhomme.
Right. And, it's a little bit like that because, we have to figure out how to deal with our stakeholders. Now, one take on the stakeholder idea, which I would say I had in 84, was there are more than shareholders. And the importance of stakeholder theory is to say, hey, wait, there are other people who you have to deal with who are important to the value creation idea. And that's true. But I think a better insight, a more important insight, is the idea that stakeholders are interdependent. How you deal with customers determines how you can deal with suppliers and employees and communities and financiers. How you deal with employees can determine how you deal with the others. So their interests are interconnected. And it's that interconnectedness, it's that connectedness that I think people haven't seen as much as. Now we know that those top five stakeholders are important. Now, try to figure out the interconnectedness. Try to figure out, as a business school, how employees and faculty and current students and alumni and businesses that hire all of those, how are those relationships connected with each other? If you can do that, then you can build a great school or build a great business. It's the interconnectedness that's, I think, the most central idea here. And I think the world's coming around to that. Now, maybe I'm just a hopeless optimist, but that's where I'm going to leave it.
Stakeholder expectations are growing. And today, you're expected to maintain positive relationships with a more complex network of people than ever before. When you have to manage stakeholder relationships proactively and critical issues break, you need...
You've anticipated a bit my second question. The world's come round to it. So where was it when it came out, the book? There was perhaps a little more surprise, skepticism to discover your approach?
Well, I don't think there was any surprise or skepticism because I don't think anybody cared. I don't think anyone read the book. They only printed 2,000 copies of the book. We gave most of them away. I may still have the first royalty check. I'm not sure but I don't think anybody really cared. It was the heyday of business strategy, Michael Porter, and the resource-based view of the firm. And I thought I was a strategy guy, but no one cared. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time out working with companies, helping them implement stakeholder thinking, especially in fast-changing industries like telecom. I've never seen it as a theory. I've seen it as this is the way business works. And so I'm not seeing it as a theory to be applied. I've seen it as a theory in the sense of it helps us solve a problem. It helps us solve a problem of how do we know what to do when the world is not very stable anymore. And so the idea of mostly bureaucracy doesn't work. How do we figure out the ethics of business and add those things together? How do business and ethics go together? And how do we figure out what to teach in business schools? I think stakeholder theory tries to have something to say about those three problems.
I was working in Washington, D.C. at the time, and it was the middle of the Reagan era, and Reaganomics was in full fruition, shall we say. How did the academic world respond to your 1984 book at the time?
Well, again, the strategy people didn't seem to care much. The people who cared were doing social issues and management and corporate social responsibility. I remember going to a meeting. It was the first time I had been to the American Academy of Management. In the social issues and management division, I got up and said, I think you have the wrong unit of analysis. Issues can't do anything, but stakeholders have agency. They can do something. So why aren't you talking about the groups and individuals who can affect or be affected by you, because they can actually make the world change. And the roof sort of blew off the room because I clearly was questioning one of their basic assumptions. I mean, I didn't know I was, but I was clearly doing that. And they cared. And they're the ones, the people who do social issues and business ethics, were the academics who kind of gave me voice to speak. The strategy people came along probably 15, 20 years later. So now the strategy, I mean, there's a good sense of people doing stakeholder work in the strategy field and still in ethics and social issues as well.
HEC Breakthroughs, a Knowledge at HEC podcast.
Ed, you have a doctorate in philosophy and a degree in maths and philosophy. You call yourself a lifelong student of philosophy. How is the mix of humanities, a bit of social science perhaps also, sometimes philosophy goes into that, and hard science influence your approach to business ethics?
Well, I'm a philosophical pragmatist, so I don't see a lot of sense of making hard and fast distinctions between disciplines. One of my mentors, Richard Rorty, the philosopher, used to say discipline is just a bunch of people that read the same books. And I think that's probably right. I want to read books that help me solve whatever problems I'm working on. And I don't care if it's a book about evolution and biology, whether it's a book about Freud and his followers, or a book about quantum theory. I think especially in an applied area like business, look, we need to draw from the whole of human experience, not from one or the other. In training people in business, we desperately need to train them to be more creative. I mean, look, AI is going to do everything else, so all we got is our creative imagination.
Can you give a concrete example of an unexpected source of inspiration for you in terms of your research and writing?
Sure. Well, look, I think we don't often know what our values are, and that's what we learned from Freud. Freud told us that we aren't always even the best judge of what our values are. And if you think about Simone de Beauvoir, they talked about self-deception. They talked about bad faith. These are real things for human beings. You won't find much in business literature on self-deception and bad faith, and you won't find Sartre and Simone de Beauvoir mentioned very often. And you certainly won't find Freud mentioned very often. So when you increase what you see as foundational text, the kind of insights you can have are really helpful. We've seen more awareness in the last 15 years of inequality and poverty.
Ed Freeman in his acceptance speech during the ceremony for his HEC honorary doctorate.
We've seen more awareness of, at least in the U.S., continued racism with the George Floyd killing and gender discrimination. Of course, there's global warming. We've seen a reemergence of wars and terrorism. We've seen a fracturing of democratic states. Now, if that wasn't enough, how about in the middle of all that, oh, I know, let's have a pandemic. I haven't heard anybody argue that the way to solve all this stuff is to go back to the old story. Why? Because it's not going to work, and we know that. There have been lots of proposals for reform. There's inclusive capitalism, long-term capitalism, conscious capitalism, new capitalism, responsible capitalism, and a whole bunch more. And they challenge the solutions to thinking about business in the old story. I think we need a big tent of all of these things. There are differences among them, but for the most part, they share the idea that business is about values and ethics. They share the idea
that business is about more than shareholders, it's about stakeholders, and they share the idea that we ought to teach this stuff in business schools.
HEC has also embarked in many ways on major reforms of its curriculum, you know, enriching it with ethics and social sciences. Is that the way to go in a business school?
Well, I think that's part of it, as long as you don't listen too much to the philosophers who are ethicists, because, again, that can be really narrow. Look, we like to think about language like good, bad, right, wrong, right? And a lot of the people that do the social scientific view of ethics, the people that do behavioral economics and other things, see good, bad, right, wrong as that's, you know, we're going to tell whether this decision was good or bad or right or wrong. But the truth is, the most interesting part of ethics is framing. Once you let me frame the problem, I'll let you decide whether it's good, bad, right, or wrong. So we have to think broadly about ethics as well. I defy you to find a book on ethics, just on ethics and political theory, that has anything to say about business. For the most part, they all start with the question in political philosophy of how is the state justified? Well, wait a minute. We've been value creators and traders long before there were states. And so how is it possible that value creation and trade can happen without states? And the answer is pretty straightforward. Well, for the most part, people kept their promises and told the truth, and it worked just fine. It solved each other's problems. But we need an ethics that takes business into account, and we don't really have that yet. I think the closest we've got is the pragmatist view of ethics. But there are as many pragmatist views as there are pragmatists, so that's also
a
problem.
The term creativity. In fact, I should say that my use of the term creativity is a little bit idiosyncratic.
Retired MIT professor in cognitive science, Noam Chomsky.
I'm not attributing to the concept the notion of value that is normal when we speak of creativity. That is, when you speak of scientific creativity, you're speaking properly of the achievements of a Newton. But in the context in which I've been speaking about creativity, it's a normal human event. There are certain topics that have been put aside during the scientific advances of the, say, past two centuries, century and a half. But now I think we can overcome those limitations and forgettings and to bring into our consideration precisely the topics that animated a good deal of the thinking and speculation of the 17th and 18th century, and to incorporate it within a much broader and, I think, deeper science of man that will give fuller role to such notions as innovation and creativity and freedom and production of new elements of thought and behavior within some system of rule and schematism. Those are concepts that I think we can come to grips with.
That was a 1971 extract of a classic debate between one of the founders of modern linguistics, Noam Chomsky, and the French philosopher Michel Foucault. 53 years later, Professor Ed Freeman has put a new spin to Chomsky's concept of creativity in a pragmatic marriage of ethics, moral values, and business organizations. For this, he has been awarded 7 honorary doctorates, including the one given to him by HEC Paris in early March. Well, that wraps up this exceptional podcast devoted to the works and thoughts of Edward Freeman. To get insights into our other podcasts, why not subscribe to our monthly Knowledge at HEC newsletter? Oh, and if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to drop them off at this address, brownd@hec.fr. That's brownd@hec.fr. Until the next time, goodbye.